welcome to Built Modular, a podcast brought to you by Box Modular. I'm your host, Michelle Dawn Mooney. And today we have a great episode for you, Leading with Purpose, Sabrina Fiorilino on entrepreneurship, empowerment, and environmental impact. And you are really in for a treat. I am pleased to bring on our special guest today. Sabrina Fiorilino is the founder and CEO of Faro International Inc. Sabrina, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Michelle, for having me. Thank you.
Really looking forward to your story. Before we kind of dive in, can I ask you to give us a brief bio if you can?
Sure. Yeah, I started my first business at 18, global distribution business. Was very happy doing business until my mother said, you need to go to school. So went to law school, did mergers and acquisitions on Bay Street for almost 10 years, and then started doing acquisition consolidation deals on the side. And then I would say 5-6 years ago, did my first big startup. It was in the heavy construction road building industry. Grew very big, very fast, hired 80 people in our first 3 months, scaled the business, and then eventually sold it. And then COVID hit, and I was sitting at home thinking what to do next. And that's when Faro was born.
And there's so much that I want to kind of unravel here, because right there, I think of three or four things. You being so young, being a female in an industry that doesn't necessarily see as many females doing what you're doing. So where to start? So let's start here. Can you walk us through your journey from being an entrepreneur at 18, as you said, to the founding of Faro International Inc.? Because it wasn't just business, and clearly you have a mind for business, but it really was very personal. So I'd love to hear that story if you can share it with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I talked about, you know, obviously my transition from entrepreneurship to law back to entrepreneurship. And when COVID hit, I had sold my previous business. I was sitting at home, and I like to tell the story. I was sitting at home literally staring at my walls and talking to my dogs. And I said, I need to do something. Like, I can't do nothing in this circumstance. But I think what was really impactful is how COVID affected my family. So my mom is a double lung transplant recipient. My brother is an anesthetist. He was intubating COVID patients. My sister-in-law is a nurse. They had a young baby at home. And then the kicker for me was my grandfather passed away during the first wave of COVID. And it was the first time I couldn't stay in hospital with him. And that was devastating to me. And I fundamentally understood that there was so many other families who were being devastated in the same way. So I decided, probably too ambitiously, that I was going to revolutionize healthcare and healthcare infrastructure globally, and found a manufacturer, built an ICU in a box, had it tested by the University Health Network, including Toronto General Hospital, and then just scaled the business from there.
We all know the challenges that we dealt with personally during COVID, but when you're starting a business in that magnitude, because I mean, it's not just something I'm selling handmade t-shirts on Etsy, you know, from my home. What are some of the challenges, and maybe share some of the emotions, because we were already so emotional, all of us, from COVID-19. I mean, my husband was day three of lockdown. It's like, I have to get out of the house. You know, everybody was dealing with their own thing. So can you kind of take us through that aspect of going through COVID, seeing your family be hit hard in a variety of different ways, and then just the stress of, on a given good day, starting a company?
Yeah, so really challenging, probably the most challenging environment I ever started a company in, for a number of reasons. One, government funding was there for existing businesses or businesses that had decreased revenue during COVID, but not for new businesses. And so that was really, really challenging. On top of the fact that it is extremely challenging for females to get funding. So, you know, statistics are, back in 2020, 3.2% of all venture money went to females. Fast forward through COVID and to last year, it went down to 1.6%. So it's the first time in a really long time the percentage of females who got funding decreased. And then we had, you know, hard economic times, really challenging environment to raise money. So it was a struggle for me like I had never faced before. And then on top of it, you're in lockdown. So you're in your house building this business without being able to meet people, see people. And so I find it much more effective when you're pitching to people in person or you're connecting with people in person. And so that was an added challenge. But also I think the loneliness of being at home, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I was working long hours because there was nothing else to do. And so it just felt like days were going by and just really quickly without doing anything but trying to build the business.
So clearly there's such a great need for what you are starting here. And I want to ask you, you know, your company offers turnkey solutions beyond construction, including medical devices and staffing. So how do you balance the diverse aspects of your business from construction logistics to healthcare equipment procurement? And then what strategies have you found most effective in ensuring a seamless integration?
Yes, so very good question. I think one of the things we do effectively is have the right balance of in-house labor and subcontracted labor. And so when we're sourcing medical devices, we have, you know, a big logistics team, supply chain team, and work with really big partners. So for example, one of the medical device partners we work with is Dräger. They're a 3.3 billion euro company, global. They sell their medical devices to hospitals, military, mining all over the world. And so they're really, really good partners to work with. And so seamless integration of both teams because of the sophistication level of our team and their team. So it works really, really well. And then I would say we often, obviously, you have to vet who you're working with, make sure that they're the right partners, make sure you do enough market research and analysis and that you're both contributing equally. As I mentioned earlier, I'm a lawyer by background, so lots of paperwork. We put things in writing to make sure everybody has an understanding of what the relationship is. So lots of different strategies to make it work. And then because our specialty is healthcare, integration is a big key. And so our team knows what to do, knows how to integrate. And if not, we bring in the appropriate subcontractors to help us.
Innovation seems to be at the core of your entrepreneurial journey, especially seen in your ability to pivot and innovate during the COVID-19 pandemic. So can you share some specific examples maybe of how innovation has driven the growth and success of Faro International?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. This question came up. I was at a BDC CEO dinner last night, so very similar question came up. And I think it's a lot of things. I think one thing is creating the environment for the team to innovate. So I would say we normalize failure. We don't punish people if they try something and it doesn't work. And I think that's really important. Two, you know, our company is all about innovation. I talk regularly about either we're going to disrupt or we're going to be disrupted. And our company logo is Solutions Without Limits. So we do push the boundaries in a lot of ways. And then on the manufacturing side, we always pushing processes and procedures, how we can do things faster, what automation equipment we can use to reduce material waste and increase our speed in delivery. And we innovate from anything from like a wall panel system that helps us eliminate drywall, mudding, taping, all these type of things so we can install walls faster, to material handling machines, to inventory management that's just in time. So all these between automation processes and procedures and innovation, we really try to push the boundaries and be the leaders in everything that we do.
Let me ask you this. Faro's infrastructure projects are critical in various sectors. So can you discuss a project that you found particularly challenging or rewarding?
Absolutely. So one of the first builds we had was a very complex 5,200 square foot outpatient clinic for a hospital in Western Canada. And for me, extremely rewarding because we are providing healthcare capacity to a hospital that needed it most, but also very challenging because we had to get enormous modules to Manitoba. And so that was the first time I think we were moving modules of that size that far. But our logistics team did a really great job. It was a 7-day trip with 120 foot trucks, so 7 trucks. But it was exciting when they landed. I think I didn't sleep for a few days, but once they got there, we were pretty happy about it.
Yeah, that's definitely something to be proud of. Your work extends beyond mere business interests with a clear commitment to societal well-being. So how do you see the intersection between entrepreneurship and social impact? And then what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs who are aiming to create businesses with a positive global influence?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I would say ESG for me, I like to talk about it in a way that, you know, most people don't. So first and foremost, I think when people think ESG, they think non-profitable. And I actually think it's the reverse. In order to properly impact on the ESG side, you have to have a profitable business to reinvest in the business and grow the business. And so I think that that's an important part of an ESG strategy. From an environmental perspective, obviously Faro Modular in general is more environmentally friendly. We help reduce waste, less trips to construction sites, more sustainable in a lot of ways. So, and then we look at sourcing sustainable building materials. And so it evolves over time. We're not going to be perfect on environmental impact day one, but the plan is to always get better. And then socially, we talk about, you know, diversity in our leadership team. Obviously, we're majority female owned, majority female led, majority female board of directors, which is highly unusual in manufacturing, especially. And so we push the boundaries on the social side. And then on the governance side, obviously, we push, you know, good governance. We're set up almost like a public company, even though we're a small private company today. But we strive to be the best we can on all three aspects.
March is a month of celebration for women, talking a lot about women's history and so many other things. And I am very curious to hear your thoughts on this, because you clearly must have had some challenges faced as a woman in a traditionally male-dominated field like construction and manufacturing. So I would love to hear how you've addressed that. And then how do you inspire the next generation when it comes to, you know, seeing these young women who want to grow up to female leaders and to encourage them to follow their dreams, that they can really do anything that they put their minds to?
Yeah. So always an interesting question and always an interesting topic. So struggles as a female, of course, I talked about raising funds and often very difficult. Sometimes just getting people to take you seriously as a female entrepreneur, I think it can be hard. For me, I see it all as just noise. It used to affect me personally in a way that, you know, maybe I was scared to do something because I was affected by what someone was going to say or how they were going to react to me as a female CEO. Today, I just, if someone reacts in an odd way, I kind of shrug my shoulders and I keep moving forward. So I would say the relentless pursuit of helping the company grow without listening to the noise. And then for advice for, I would say, young female entrepreneurs, what I try to do is lead by example and show them that it's possible. For me, it was really important and is really important to do what I'm doing, because when I looked up, when I was starting my journey as an entrepreneur at 18, there was not a lot of people to look up to. And I think the more of us who take these leadership roles and take the risks and show other women that it's possible, the more other women will continue on these type of paths.
As a leader in both construction and healthcare sectors, so I mean, two areas that you can be an inspiration there, you know, talking about the young females kind of moving up in this world. But what do you envision for the future of modular manufacturing, especially in addressing healthcare challenges beyond the pandemic? And how do you see Faro International Inc. evolving to meet these future needs?
That's an amazing question. So I look at the healthcare landscape. There's infrastructure shortages across all industries, and we talk about it. We have housing crises, we have crisis in schools, and we don't have enough healthcare beds and healthcare infrastructure capacity alongside your healthcare human services. So Faro can deliver various types of healthcare infrastructure, whether it's modular MRI or CT, modular diagnostics facilities, modular renal dialysis, modular hospitals, modular clinics, modular long-term care facilities, modular housing with healthcare supports in it. So large gamut of what we can do. I think when people think of modular, they still think about office trailers or mining camps. And so we've gone so beyond that. And we're able to deploy this type of infrastructure, not only locally, but globally. And our mission really is to provide infrastructure to the most underserved populations, especially healthcare infrastructure.
So how does Faro International stay ahead in a competitive field like modular manufacturing, especially with the ongoing changes in global health and safety standards?
Yes. Yeah, so we, in addition to innovation, which I talked about, we're we always recertify on the health and safety side. We're always getting new health and safety certifications, pushing the boundaries. We do things like the WSIB Excellence Program. And so for me, everything's about pushing the boundaries on all aspects of the business. So we want to be best in class health and safety, best in class quality, best in class in our processes and procedures. And that helps us stay ahead. I think also because we do majority of our business in healthcare alongside schools and housing, there's not a lot of modular builders who do healthcare. And we have a lot of the talent of the modular talent for people who can actually build the healthcare facilities. And so that also helps us stay ahead. So when I think about who builds homes, there's lots of people who build homes, lots of different builders, big ones, small ones, individuals. And it's very similar on the modular side. You have lots of different people who can build modular housing. But on healthcare, there's not many people globally who build hospitals or health clinics. And so the same applies to modular. We have less competitors because we're in a niche space that is more complex. And so there's less people who do it.
I want to take a step back for a moment because the founding of Faro clearly came from an emotional side from you, seeing your family going through some things and realizing that the need was greater than just what you saw. So how do you balance the aspect of your personal life, being a very successful entrepreneur, wearing so many hats, being someone who cares about the society, wants to give back? It's a lot for anyone. And let's take it back to the female aspect, because a lot of people say, well, you shouldn't even be in this industry, or I can't believe a female is actually doing this, that a woman is taking on this role. So how do you balance all of that?
And so a good question that I like to speak about, and I think about it, I think differently than most people. So work-life balance for me is not something static. It doesn't mean necessarily 9 to 5 my entire life, or I never work on weekends, but it's a shifting and evolving thing that I reassess over time. So when I was 18, what I expected from work-life balance is different than me today at 41, is also different than when I'm scaling a business versus when I'm selling it or when it's at a steady state. And so what I do is self-check. Am I okay with the level of work-life balance I have at this point in time under these circumstances? And usually I am. And it, like I said, it fluctuates over time. So of course, sometimes my family might say, oh, I don't see you enough. Like, I want my mom, I want to see you more. And it's during my busier times, of course. And so I feel bad and try to make time. But then when I do have more time, and when work is more at a steady state, then I go back and spend more time with family, et cetera, family, friends, et cetera. But I think it's an evolving thing that changes sometimes even day to day.
Yeah. A lot of fluidity there. You've got to be fluid. I have so enjoyed this conversation. Sabrina Fiorellino is the founder and CEO of Faro International Inc. And I can't tell you how inspiring your story is. I feel like a lot of people are saying, wow, what have I done? And what can I do more of? Because you really have a tremendous story and you are a go-getter. And I am just so thankful. And I'm sure so many other people are thankful for the work that you've done. So thank you for being here today.
Thanks so much, Michelle. It was a pleasure to be here.
Great story. Thank you again, Sabrina, for being here. I really appreciate your time. And I'm looking forward to where the future takes Faro, because clearly you have established something that's pretty great. And I'm sure a lot of people are very thankful for that. So thank you again for being here. And thank you all for listening and tuning in to Built Modular, a podcast brought to you by Box Modular. And of course, you can visit the Box Modular website at boxmodular.com for more information there. I'm your host, Michelle Dawn Moody. Thanks again for joining us. We hope to connect with you on another podcast soon.